What I want all of us to see is, I guess I want to ask you guys a couple questions. Number one, the number one objection that I've always heard from people about why they don't believe that there's a God is because God doesn't deal with, let's say, a child who is hurt. And if there's a good God, why would he allow this child to have cancer, or why would he allow this child to go through abuse, let's say? And so people say, if there's a God, he's either really weak, and because he's weak, I don't believe in him, or he doesn't exist. He doesn't exist because he doesn't do anything to help these poor kids. How many of you have heard that objection when you're talking to somebody? If there is a God, he has to deal with all this stuff, or since he doesn't deal with it, he must not exist. Okay. And so the passage that we're going to look at today, I think you're going to be hugely encouraged as we look at this seventh trumpet. It's the third woe. Remember, the fifth trumpet was the first woe. And remember what happened is demons came out of the bottomless pit in the form of locusts, and they stung mankind. And so we're in the middle of the tribulation here. And almost to the midpoint as the fifth trumpet blows. And the humans that are alive on the earth wish they can die, and they can't. This is a future event that's going to happen during the tribulation period. That's the first woe, the fifth trumpet. The second woe is the sixth trumpet, and four demons come out of the bottomless pit and lead an army of 200 million people to destroy a third of the population, which then reduces the population, as we're keeping track, to half. So half the population are alive. So now we come to the seventh woe. And it is, it's really echoey here, guys, so something needs to be done because I can't even hear myself. So either, I think I'm in the monitors, maybe? Is that possible? Okay. But don't turn it down for everybody, just, I don't know what the problem is, but if you can solve that, that'd be amazing, and I'll edit this out of our radio. But at least I can hear myself, I think now, which is really good. Thank you. Poor guys in the sound booth never get any credit. All they get is criticism, it feels like. If they do their job well, nobody says anything, right? So let's give the guys in the sound booth a big hand, shall we? Appreciate them. So I want to give you, I have drawn some things in the past. You guys are used to my stick figures. But I want you to see nice professionally drawn. This was drawn by a friend, Tom Bowden, and my brother-in-law uses this. And I want you to see a graphic that I'll draw on a little bit for you. Okay, so here we are in the church age down here at the bottom of the screen. Pastor Todd, can you come up? It's just a real faint thing, and it needs to be heavy and not huge, but kind of medium. So we're going to get this eventually really good. Perfect. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. In fact, can you grab that chair and sit right here? Okay, perfect. All right. This is apparently going to happen every week until we get this down. Okay, so here we are in the church age, down here at the lower left-hand corner of the screen. The rapture of the church is going to happen. You guys are used to my arrow going up, right? And then the tribulation period is this whole area right here. And then the second coming, the glorious appearing. Okay, I think you can leave, but if it happens again, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call you back up here. Okay. Okay, thank you so much. All right, appreciate you. All right, so we're in the church age. The rapture of the church ends the church age. Can we say that together? The rapture of the church ends the church age. However, it does not begin the tribulation. The tribulation begins when a peace treaty is signed with Israel. And so there's a period of time, and the Bible doesn't say how long. It could be days or weeks or months in between the rapture of the church right here and the peace treaty being signed right here. So there's a little gap of time right in this area, and we don't know how long it is. But we're gonna experience the judgment seat. We're going to stand before the Lord. And you guys like watching, and I love watching Olympics, but this last Olympics, I boycotted the Olympics. I just refuse to watch things that are produced by the Chinese Communist Party as a PR move for the world. When they're killing Uyghurs and their human rights record is worse than atrocious. The Chinese Communist Party is pure evil. And so I just couldn't watch it this year. But I love the Olympics in general. Why? Because I love it when somebody puts their whole heart into something and it pays off. Isn't that awesome? I love that. And so what I want to encourage all of us to do is recognize that our judgment is going to happen here at the judgment seat of Christ as believers because our sins were paid for at the cross. And so here at the judgment seat, we're not going to be judged for whether we are going to make it to heaven or not. That was already settled at the cross. The moment you trust Christ, you're saved forever. But at the judgment seat, you're going to be rewarded with different levels of reward. Okay? And I want you to see that as we're going to look in the passage, we're going to see things about judgment. We see the great white throne over here on the far right. That happens at the end of the millennium period. And all the lost from all time are there cast into the lake of fire, and they're judged for what level of punishment they're going to receive. Okay, so big difference. Our judgment happened at the cross. We're going to be judged like an Olympian to see what level of reward we receive, like a person standing on the podium. Don't you love it when they sing the national anthem of the United States? Because that means the person on the highest podium with the gold medal won another gold medal, right? I love that. But you are going to be standing before the Lord, just you and him, looking eye to eye. Nobody else, just you and him, and you will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for how you use the opportunities he gave you in this life. Boy, do I want you to get a gold medal. I want you to get a well-done degree. And wouldn't you think it would... Let me ask you a question. What do you think an Olympian... What do you think an Olympian's chances of making of winning gold would be if he shows up to only some practices? Right? Probably you're probably not going to think. So my encouragement to you is to rededicate yourself to be so devoted to the Lord that being as plugged in to the body of Christ for you isn't like I'm not sure I'm going to go to church today. It's a given. The doors are open. I'm going to be there. Yeah? This isn't me browbeating you. This isn't me guilting anybody. It's me encouraging you to win a gold medal because you will, if you've trusted Christ, you're going to stand at the judgment seat and you're going to give an account for how much, how yielded you were to the Lord. Now, it really pays off to have extra rewards there because during the millennial kingdom right here, this 1,000 years, you're going to rule and reign with Christ as he reigns in Jerusalem. And you're going to have authority that's commensurate with your faithfulness in this life. So it's going to pay off for 1,000 years and beyond to be fully yielded to the Lord and be an Olympian that doesn't just settle to compete. You actually medal in the event. I want you to medal in the event, okay? All right, so with that kind of in mind, let's keep going forward and let's see how Satan is ruling this earth right now. When did that happen? Well, it happened in the Garden of Eden when mankind, the first Adam, gave Satan the authority by his sin. Maybe God gave Satan the authority, but the reality is we are the reason that there's sin in the world. In fact, mankind, our grandfather Adam, is the reason that there are 2-year-olds who die of cancer. So if you're looking for somebody to finger for the crime, don't finger God. Don't call her God and say, I got him, he's the one. If he even exists, it's his fault. No, it's mankind's fault. Let's clear that up right out of the gate, okay? But why are there pain? Why is there pain? And why have people suffered so much? It's because of sin. So Satan's in charge of this world, okay? And throughout time, the prophets have cried out to the Lord, Lord, please, you come do something about this. Let's look at what Isaiah said. Isaiah 64:1. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. How many times have you wondered in your own life, oh, Lord, please, come do something about this, right? Are y'all tracking with me? Have you ever cried out to the Lord, like literally shouted, can you come do something about this? I mean, maybe I'm more verbal than you guys are, but I've shouted at God quite a few times because I want something to change. I cried when I read this week. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow on Christmas Day composed the song Christmas Bells. It's because his son, Charles Appleton, snuck off and enlisted in the Federal Army, got wounded, and came home after he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the 1st Massachusetts Cavalry. He suffered this career-ending wound, and he was transported by train to Washington, D.C. He met his son, took him home, and it took months for him to heal, and his father was so anxious. And on Christmas Day, as he's hearing the bells ringing in Washington, D.C., he composes this song, and the song says this, "And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." Pain and suffering and abuse are not the final word. And we are going to see in our passage today that God is going to execute justice. As the seventh trumpet blows, the whole scene and demeanor of the entire universe changes. We've reached the midpoint of the tribulation period, and it is quite exciting to see that while there is a limited time when evil can prevail, it is not forever. Doesn't that make your heart feel good? There will not be injustice forever. What a great blessing. Okay. We can get so discouraged if we keep looking at the news. Maybe you guys are like me and you're not watching as much news as you used to. It's pretty depressing. But evil's going to lose. So we look ahead here. So where are we in this picture? We're at the midpoint of the tribulation, where the Antichrist breaks the treaty. We're at the midpoint right here, and so there's a false peace for the first 3.5 years. The second half of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation. I don't know if you guys can see that. Maybe I need to zoom in on it. I don't think I can zoom in on this particular one, but can I? Let's try it. Oh, sweet. Holy cow, I feel powerful. I can not only make coffee with a bun coffee pot, but I can zoom in. This is awesome. Okay. Second half of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation. Where are we? Whoops, I didn't mean to draw. I use two fingers, I don't draw. We're at the midpoint of the tribulation right here. By the way, we've already seen, and this is a cool thing, when the seal judgments are introduced, there's seven of the seal judgments. And inside the last of the seal judgment are the seven trumpet judgments. You guys ever see Russian nesting dolls? It's like there are little bitty figures, and if you open one up, there's another one. You open that up, there's another one. Open that up, and there's another one. And I got some of those for our kids when I was in Belarus, Russian nesting dolls. But here's what it is. Instead of the judgment being smaller, the seven trumpet judgments that are contained in the seventh seal judgment are bigger than the seal judgment. So what that means is the judgment that God brings on the earth is incremental. He starts with a small amount of judgment to get people's attention. How kind of him. It's like a shot across the bow. It didn't go into the ship. It's saying, watch out. You continue on that course and there's judgment ahead. And all the time, he has the two witnesses and the 144,000 sharing the gospel with the world because he wants everybody to trust Christ. And so incrementally, the judgments keep getting heavier and heavier. And then people don't respond. And so he opens up the seventh seal judgment contains the seven trumpet judgments. We're at the seventh of those right now. But what we're going to find is that inside the seventh trumpet judgment are the seven bowl judgments. And they're bigger and way worse than anything that have happened so far. Okay, so we haven't even covered any passage here in Revelation. I want you to think back with me as we covered Revelation 8:13, and let's just reread that together, okay? So let me read this for you. Here we go. "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. But to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." And so that's just a little review from a few chapters ago. That's why we call these the woe judgments, because they're worse than what happened so far. And this is the last woe judgment. And I want you to remember or realize that this is a woe only to God's enemies. It is a blessing to those who know the Lord. When God shows his power, it's a blessing to those of us who know the Lord. We with Isaiah are crying out, Lord, please show your power down here on this planet. Because things are way out of control. You know why things are way out of control? Go home and read your Bible today. Go read Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth, and I'm not going to show it on the screens, but make a note, because I trust you're taking notes. I trust you come to Chiley Crossroads with the intention of learning the Bible, because that's what we do. Make it a habit, get a notebook, bring your Bible, take notes. Go read Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. It's an unfortunate truth that most political leaders of this world are dead set against God. It's always been that way. It will always be that way. There's a few great leaders, and we need to vote for them and get behind them and support them. But most political leaders don't like God at all, and it's a power contest. And if you've noticed that when people try to take power away from politicians, they don't like that, and they double down on their power to make sure you don't do that again, right? And that's what they're going to try to do to God in the situation here. But when you fight God, can mankind fight God and win? Is there a possibility of this happening? No. And so God is warning them. He's been so gracious to warn them over time here. But the seventh trumpet, let's go to Revelation and actually cover one of our text verses. I thought I was going to get halfway through my message today. We're not even getting started. But I'm excited because the Word of God is so rich. I'm in awe that I have the privilege of studying it and then sharing with you. Let's look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, read it out loud with me, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus. I've sung it many times as I've had the privilege of being part of a choir for many years. I love that. One of my favorite Bible verses, because it's all this nonsense isn't going to go on forever. The feeling that it's interminable is what makes it so difficult to bear, but it's not going to go on forever. It's going to end. And in the midpoint of the tribulation, the seventh angel is going to sound. And what I believe is, now there are different thoughts, and it could be either way, and either way I'm fine with. The seventh trumpet sounds here. I'm going to change the color just because I think I can. Let's try that. And so the seventh trumpet sounds right here in the middle, and either the trumpet sounds for the entire 3.5 years, or there's echoes of it sounding, I believe, for 3.5 years. In other words, we are getting a glimpse in the middle of the tribulation period of what it's going to look like when all is said and done. But it doesn't mean that all is said and done yet. It means that you have a whole crazy 3.5 years to live. And so for people who are saved during the tribulation period, aren't you glad God gives them some encouragement in the middle of their despair? Because He's about to crank up the heat that much higher, because he wants to get people to trust Christ. And if they don't, then they're just, if you, let me look at, say, learn to say this with me. If you reject God's mercy, all you have left is judgment. Can you say that with me? If you reject God's mercy, all you have left is judgment. God has been so kind, he's been trying to get people to trust Christ for 3.5 years. He was so kind to us, he gave us Christ who died on the cross, and most people are completely oblivious and don't even care. So the tribulation period, he pulls us out, starts to show his wrath to the world, but does it by degree because he's merciful. And he's saying, I don't want you to die and spend eternity apart from me. So he keeps ratcheting up the judgment a little bit at a time. And in the midpoint of the tribulation, he blows this trumpet, and it is astounding. God doesn't always deliver on his promises right away. Have you guys ever noticed that God's timing feels a little late to you? You know, when would I like this building to be built? Like yesterday. When would I like every person in Coshocton County to trust Christ? All 36,000 people who haven't trusted Christ. Like, today would be just fine. But he asks us to trust his promises and keep being faithful, but he keeps making promises that we can cling to. And I'm grateful, because that's what's happening here. He makes promises, and there are saved people. Many people who trust Christ get killed in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. A lot of them are going to die in the next 3.5 if they've made it to the midpoint. But they have this promise that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Jesus was promised in Genesis 3:15, right? But he didn't show up for 4,000 years. God makes promises. He's going to deliver on them. Don't get discouraged in the meantime. There's the three and a half worst years of Earth's history, and these poor people are going to have to live through it if they've trusted Christ. But most of the people don't respond at all to God's mercy, and so all there is left is judgment. Okay? I want to clarify a couple things about which judgments. Is time already gone? I could go for like 3 more hours. I'm really sad. I'm sad right now. I want to tell you all this because there's even more I want to share next week, and now I have to like slow down. Okay, we're just going to end. I'm so sorry. There is so much in this book. If you base your life on it, you're going to reach the potential God has for you, and at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be happy you did it. If you ignore this book, you do it at your peril. If you're a saved person, you're going to be saved, but you're not going to be as rewarded at the judgment seat. If you don't take God seriously, salvation is free. But God wants us to live lives of service, where our whole lives are poured out to him as an offering. What we do at church, not from the offering to the music, is all about worshiping the Lord. To the sermon, it's all about worshiping the Lord. We want to inspire. God wants us to worship him. And so time in his word is us worshiping him and saying, wow, you're powerful. The wrong shall fail, the right will prevail. The seventh trumpet's going to blow. We're going to talk about next week. We're going to clarify some confusion about which trumpet is which in the Bible, because there's some confusion. There doesn't need to be, because the Bible explains the Bible. And so don't get confused. You need good teaching. I need good teaching. We need God's word is what we need. And then we'll be on track, and we'll be able to make it through discouraging times. Because I don't know if you guys noticed, but most of life is a discouraging time. So you need God's word and his promises to cling to. I'm going to show you one picture as we close of Betty. No, not Betty. This is Charlene yesterday in the nursing home. She asked me if she could have some tracts to share the gospel in the nursing home. Now I'm going to tell you guys something. She can't move the left side of her body, but she's going to use the half of her body that's working to share the gospel. I hope there's not one person that walks out of this building today without some of those tracts. They're in the track rack between the two front doors. Take them, carry them with you. The reason I had those to give her is because I had those three with me. I want to challenge you to take tracts with you, share the gospel with the world. Why? Because if they don't trust Christ, if they don't accept his mercy, all that's left for them is judgment. And you, as God's ambassador, should care about whether somebody's going to go through eternal separation from God in conscious torment in darkness and fire. You should care. God called on you to care. You should care. And you should share the good news with people that Christ died for their sins and rose again. And even if you're embarrassed, you should learn how to get good at it and make the other person feel at ease and comfortable. You should practice it in a mirror. Practice with your dog. Don't practice with your cat. Cats don't have souls. They can't get saved. It's worthless. You're wasting your time. People need to hear what Jesus did. You're an ambassador. Get tracts. Share the gospel. Invite people to the wild game dinner. Christ died for your sins and rose again. Look at this. Let this hand represent you and me. This wallet represent all of our sin. God loves us, but he hates our sin. Why does he hate it so much? Because heaven is a perfect place and you can't go there with your sin. He loves you so much. This sin is a problem. It's separating you from a holy God. So God sent Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Where is all your sin now? cast upon Christ, all of it. God sees you as though you're righteous, and what was separating you from a holy God is no longer separating you, so now you have fellowship with God. Bible says you're in Christ. All these promises apply to you. The rapture is going to take you up. You're going to be saved forever. Why? Because you trusted that Christ died for your sins and rose again. You're not going through the tribulation. The book of Revelation isn't scary. Somebody told me this week, oh, the book of Revelation is so scary. It's scary if you're not saved. It's not scary if you're saved, and you as a saved person have an obligation to be empathetic to the plight of the lost and make sure they hear what Jesus did. That's why God left you here. The reason he didn't save you and take you to glory is because he left you to do a job. And people tell me all the time, well, I lived through cancer, I lived through this crazy thing, and I must be here for a reason. Yeah! Every one of us is here for a reason. Charlene didn't die from her stroke. Half her body is working, and she's using the working half of her body to share the good news that Christ died for everybody's sins. The moment you trust him, you're saved forever. You avoid the tribulation. You avoid hell. You have eternal life right now. You have passed from death unto life, and you are saved forever. And it's good news, and you should be excited about it. You should be sharing it with everybody except your cat. Don't ever witness to a cat. Cats don't have souls. Julie wasn't here. She didn't come to the first part of the class. All right. Share the gospel. I'm not good at it. You're bad at everything except crying and filling your diapers when you're born. You only get good at things by trying and failing. You fell off your bike multiple times before you got good at riding around the block. Don't tell me, I can ride a bike, but I don't know how to witness. Say it with me. 8 words. Say it with me. Ready? Nice and loud. Christ died for our sins and rose again. You know Ephesians 2:8-9. You know John 3:16. You have tracts out there. You're fully equipped to be an ambassador. You have the Holy Spirit inside you if you've trusted Christ. You're fully equipped to do everything God wants you to do. And you have both halves of your body working. So go do your job. When God gives you a job, there's two responses. You can make excuses or you can obey. I encourage you in the strongest terms, because this is going to happen. The judgment seat of Christ is going to happen. And when you stand there, you will not be unhappy that you took seriously the command to share the gospel. This is not guilt. This is us as believers realizing what our responsibility, our privilege, it's a privilege. You don't have to hang on a cross and pay for the sins of the world. All you have to do is tell somebody about the one who did. We get to do the easy part. Don't complain. Don't tell me it's hard. Oh, it's so hard. No, being hard would be dying on the cross, maybe. What's easy is screaming the good news. Look, Jesus saves! Jesus saves! Let's go tell the whole world. With every head bowed, every eye closed, dear one, if you haven't trusted that Christ died for your sins and rose again, do it right here, right now. Don't wait. When the rapture happens, you do not want to be left behind. Trust me. You don't have to wonder if you're saved. Just simply trust that Christ died for your sins and paid for all of them. The moment you do that, you're saved forever. You become a child of God, and nothing can separate you from his love. And that's the most amazing thing I can ever tell you. Please trust that he did that for you.